Amen. Carolyn will now read our first reading.
The reading is from the prophet Zephaniah, starting at verse 14. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing, as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you, so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time. I will save the lame and gather the outcast. And I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you home. At the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. The gospel is written in the third chapter of the gospel according to Luke, beginning to read at the seventh verse. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, We have Abraham for our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able to make from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, What then should we do? In reply, he said to them, Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, Teacher, what should we do? He said to them, Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. Soldiers asked him, And we, what should we do? He said to them, Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
May the words of my lips and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We live in hope, and we're looking forward here to the coming, when the time is right, of a new vicar for Locks Heath. So here's a story to give you hope. It's a story about a newly appointed vicar who decided to make some pastoral visits so that he could get to know his congregation, his parish, a little better. And the first person he visited was an avid gardener, showed him around, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful place, a little bit of heaven on earth, pergolas and roses and a water feature, you know, the kind of thing. And the vicar was wanting to get off on the right foot with this person, so he said to them, "Praise God for the beauty of his handiwork." But his host replied in a somewhat offended tone, "Now, vicar, let's not go too far with this one. You should have seen this place when the Almighty had it to himself." Now, there is a lot of truth in that story, isn't there? Because as Christians, we are co-workers with God. And that's an amazing thought, isn't it? A very humbling thought. We share in the risen life of Jesus Christ. He lives in us. He works through us. We're temples of the Holy Spirit. And yet sometimes, being co-workers, we find the task is a little daunting. However, there's nothing new under the sun. And the scriptures can be a great encouragement to us when we feel that the task ahead of us is great. They can resonate with us, and we can see that what we face is actually nothing new. I don't know how you felt, but I certainly felt a bit worried when I heard some of the media reports last week about people not being religious anymore. Nearly half of the population, it seems, describing themselves as having no religion. That's quite a scary thought, isn't it? And what's even more scary is the rather dangerous inference from that information, I think, that somehow religion is now less relevant to public life and to the education of our children and so on. So it can be reassuring when we're confronted with that kind of scenario and the task that we have as Christians to stand firm in amongst all of that, to recognise that God's people have struggled to make his voice heard amid the cacophony of the world for thousands of years. I wonder how much we know about the prophet Zephaniah, who we heard from earlier, one of the so-called minor prophets of the Old Testament. Well, actually, Zephaniah's story might well resonate with us today as we try to reform and renew ourselves so that the Church of England is still fit for purpose in the 21st century. Zephaniah's great-great-grandfather was King Hezekiah of Judah, who was a great king, actually, and a good king for the most part, although he did sometimes find himself coming under fire from his contemporary, the prophet Isaiah, because he would make alliances with other countries when faced with the threat of the Assyrian army. But Hezekiah was an encourager of religious reform, and it seems there was something in the genes, because generations later, Zephaniah was also involved with religious reform, and Zephaniah was a contemporary of another reforming Jewish king, one that we may have heard of, King Josiah. In between times, the religious life of Judah hadn't gone quite so well, actually. So Josiah was trying to reform things, and Zephaniah, as a prophet, was there beside him, encouraging reform to take place. And don't you find those words of Zephaniah an encouragement? The Lord is in your midst. Do not fear. Do not let your hands grow weak. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. This is the message of Christmas, isn't it? Emmanuel, God with us. And however daunting the task, God is there with us. God gives us the strength and encourages us and helps us to get the job done. Today, the third Sunday in Advent, we also, of course, remember another prophet, John the Baptist, the first of the New Testament prophets, the one who came to prepare God's people for the biggest renewal of all time in the coming of Jesus. When prophets speak, we sometimes need to be wearing a bit of a hard hat, so be warned, it's not all easy when we listen to the preaching of John the Baptist. But what a welcome voice his must have been, because the voice of prophecy had been silent for hundreds of years. The last of the Old Testament prophets, the prophet Malachi, who prophesied more than 400 years before the coming of Jesus, had said this: "See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple." I wonder how people felt when they heard those words. Maybe there was a rustle of anticipation and excitement, apprehension. But after that, maybe some disappointment too, because then there was a deafening silence, an eerie silence that lasted for hundreds of years. And perhaps people thought that God had forgotten about them. And perhaps people forgot about God at times too. We can't force the issue with God. The initiative is always his. And sometimes it seems that we simply have to be patient and wait and be on our starting blocks and ready to go when God says the time is right. And actually, when the voice of prophecy was heard again, it didn't come in the temple, did it? It came out there in the wilderness. John the Baptist appears out of the wilderness and then starts baptizing people by the River Jordan. So it was a little bit unexpected, not quite what people were looking for or where people were looking for things to happen. We have to be prepared for the unexpected with God too. And that reminds us that the work is his and the initiative is his, even though we are co-workers with him and he works through us. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to you. I think people are still seeking the Lord, don't you? Despite those reports we thought about just now. I often meet people who tell me they're not religious. And when you start to unpack what they mean, things aren't quite how they appear. I had a conversation with a family very recently who were rather apologetic about their spiritual state. "Well, the trouble is, Vicky, you see, we're not really religious." When we started talking, it became clear that wasn't quite true. What they meant was that they didn't go to church, but actually, they desperately wanted to know about God. They desperately wanted to believe that God was there with them. They wanted us to pray for them. I don't believe they weren't religious, and I think a lot of people are probably the same. So what was their problem? It was almost as though they weren't sure whether they were eligible or worthy of God's attention. But they certainly wanted and needed God's help. They were seeking God. It's our job to do what John the Baptist did, to prepare the way, to help people know and discover God's great love for them, to know that God is there, even though maybe they're wandering round a bit confused and not knowing where to turn. I'm not sure how it would play out if you went to the Loxheath Centre and said to people, "You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come?" I don't think I'd try that approach. However, there may be other ways that John the Baptist can show us to connect with the people around us who are wandering there in the wilderness, not knowing where to turn. And when you think about the preaching of John the Baptist, what he talks about is social justice. You might sum up his preaching in the words of the prophet Micah. This is what you have to do. You have to love mercy, do justly, and walk humbly with your God. That's what it's about. And I think that if we went into the Loxheath Centre or anywhere else with that kind of message, it would resonate with a lot of people who might be wandering a little uncertain about where to go and where to turn. What can we do to be saved? The people asked John. We know that at the centre of the problem is our broken relationship with God. John wasn't the Son of God, and nor are we. He could only deal with the practicalities. When our relationship with God goes wrong, it impacts on our relationships with those around us, our relationship with the world. And so the kind of message that John was giving, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, whoever has food must do likewise, is an important thing for us to hear. It takes us partway back to God to be relating to our neighbour in a more healthy way. John, of course, had more specific advice for certain groups like tax collectors and soldiers, but the message was always the same. Deal fairly with one another. Don't exploit the vulnerable. Be content with what you have. Now, there is a message people in our time might listen to as a starting point, I think. And there are people who wouldn't come to church, but would be happy to join in with good initiatives like food banks and drop-in centres. But of course, we know there is more to it than that, and that's only really a starting point. John's message was intended to remind people of something even more fundamental, that broken relationship with God that needed to be restored. We can't find our own way back to God simply by doing good works. For those who are seeking God, this can never be quite enough. "You have made us for yourself, O Lord," wrote St. Augustine, "and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in you." In our time, it's so easy to avoid thinking beyond the here and now. There are so many things to distract us. With the wonders of modern medicine and risk assessments that protect us from even breaking a fingernail, it's easy for people to postpone that moment where they find themselves thinking, there must be more to it than this. Jesus' parable about the wise man who built his house upon the rock and the foolish man who built his house upon the sand is a parable for our times, isn't it? It's when the storms of life hit that people suddenly realise they have no foundation and their whole world comes crashing down around them. We have to recognise that there is a problem before we can begin to search for the answer. John came to remind people that there was a problem because the answer was on his way. Who is the answer?
Jesus.
The one who would come after John, the more powerful one, the one whose sandal John wasn't even worthy to untie. Jesus was, and Jesus is the answer. He alone can do for us and for all those people wandering in the wilderness what we can't do for ourselves. Our job is to prepare the way, to call people to good works, and to help them to have that encounter with him, because he alone can restore that broken relationship with God, that relationship that we really deep down all need to have. We've heard from Zephaniah and from John the Baptist, two influential figures with a key role in reforming and renewing God's people. What can we take away from them today? Here are some reminders. People are the same in every age, and deep down, there is still a searching for God and a need for God in people's lives. Secondly, it requires patience. It can take time for God suddenly to appear. And when he does, it may be where we least expect to see him. But everything happens in his good time. And in the end, what needs to happen does happen. And let us remember, as we try to prepare people's hearts, that actions speak louder than words, that calling people to good works, that speaking up for justice and fairness can help to prepare people's hearts and minds to meet Jesus. But that good works alone are not enough. Our relationship with God is what really matters. Without God, things fall apart. With God, everything comes together. And only Jesus can do that for us. Let's hear again those words of encouragement from Zephaniah. The Lord is in your midst. Do not fear. Do not let your hands grow weak. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. Amen.